Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message.
Jesus had just risen from the dead. He had just for the first time appeared to those guys that had been following him all of the 3 years that were waiting for him to show. And as he got there, his first declaration was he had just defeated the power of sin. He had just totally won the victory over Satan. He had just totally risen from the dead, defeating death. He was a total victor. Everything, the first thing out of his mouth was the word, go. Something good has happened, it needs to be told about. There's something so radical that it can change anyone who will believe in it. It is something that you have been entrusted with, a message that can change the world. That's what the gospel is. Jesus wants to change lives. And when you understand that he has entrusted us as his messengers with a message that is absolutely life-changing, radically altering anything. I like the word in Acts chapter 1:8. It says, you will receive dunamis. You will receive power. Dunamis is the word dynamite in English. And as we begin to share the power of the gospel, the message has to have us be pushed into this understanding that we have to be goers. Going is part of following Jesus Christ. Are you there today? If we are truly going to follow Jesus, this command is for each one of us a command. And I wrestled with this command early in my ministry. I said, Lord, you said go. I'm willing to go. My parents were missionaries in Western Africa. My wife was born in Uruguay. Her parents were missionaries there. When we followed the Lord, we pastored here in Kansas for 6 years, and then we went to the country of Spain because God had called us there. But now we've been in Romania. But can I say that I've been to all of the world? And I really meditated on this for almost a month one time. Lord, if you asked me to do something, how can anybody go to all of the world? That seems beyond the possibles. That seems to be something greater than what we can possibly accomplish. Because no matter how many places you've been, there's more places you haven't. And we really passionately believe this message has to go. I am absolutely convinced that the first task Jesus gave his church is right here. We are to be goers. We have a message that must be shared, because when we share it, we are releasing the power of Almighty God to transform human lives. Man, we got to be doing that. That's what it's about. I met a young man who was on his way to the country of China. He here in Kansas, another Kansas missionary, and he said, God's called me to go to... We had lunch together. The more he talked about China, the more I wanted to go to China too. And I said, but Lord, how can I do that? You've called me to go to Romania. I'm going there. And God said, he has this little form. You can help him go where I've called him. And when he goes, you go with him through the help that you're giving him. And that's what the Lord spoke to me. My first job is to be a faithful servant, to go specifically where he tells me to go. But that doesn't relieve me from the all of the world clause. That has to be applied. And the only way that we can effectively go to all of the world is, first of all, to be faithful where he tells us to go, and then to help other people go to places we cannot personally get to. I believe that is so important today. Jesus wants this message to go to the world. Do you believe that? How many of you would like all of the world to hear about the goodness of Jesus Christ to change lives? Is that a good thing? Do we have something that's worth sharing? The bottom line is, why do we go into all the world? It goes all a definite, the purpose of going is the word preach. We're not going to do social outreaches. I am glad, do you mind if I come down? I'm a teacher. I like to be closer to the students. I feel a lot more comfortable here than up there. You see, Jesus is wanting to teach us something here, and it's something very vital. His purpose for coming into this earth is to change lives. Can I say that 15 times? His purpose for coming into this earth is to change lives. He who the Son has set free is free. That's what it's about. We have a message that is transforming anyone who will believe. We have an obligation to share that message wherever we can. And the first place I have learned, God spoke to me about this verse. He said, Rick, first of all, I've called you to one specific place. You are to go where I tell you to go. But he says, everyone here has a similar calling. God's got a place with your name on it. He's got a place where he wants you to be a goer. Do I hear any amens? You guys are quiet. I don't know if I'm frightening you or what. But I'm used to see God wants to do something in our hearts. He wants to touch our lives with a fire. I am so impassioned over this word goodness, gospel. The good news, the thing that will transform life. It's a powerhouse. Whenever we share it, we are effectively releasing the spirit of power of God into a world that's full of sin. How can I be quiet? And the Lord laid this on my heart. My job was first of all to go where he told me to go. But secondly, my job is to send other people to places that I can't get to. And sincerely before God, I have dedicated my life to that purpose. We went to Spain. I directed the Bible school in Spain, raised up a host of young people who are preaching the gospel all across Spain. I mean, they're my kids. Spiritually, they are ones that I've helped mentor and help get involved in ministry. And it's exciting to see the Holy Spirit use them, to watch one of my students be used of God to lead somebody to the kingdom of God is one of the greatest joys I've ever experienced. In the year 1992, we were in Spain, and the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night with a dream. It was so vivid. I was teaching a group of young people, that's normal. I'm a teacher. That wasn't abnormal. But the thing that was weird was I wasn't speaking Spanish in this dream. I was speaking a language I'd never heard before. I woke up my wife and said, honey, I'm not sure what just happened, but I think we're going to move. I think we're going to go to a new people. We're going to have to learn another new language. We're going to have to minister in another context culturally. And we went and visited the country of Romania. I went into a Bible school there because I wanted to see what God was moving in Romania. There was a revival happening. They had a group of young students that were being prepared, but communism didn't allow them to put any books into print that were Christian in nature. So these students were writing like crazy in the classroom because the only resource they had after the class was the notes they could take during the class time. I had worked in Spain and started 7 extension training centers. I had developed the curriculum so that all 7 schools were teaching the same stuff. We had a level of learning that we could anticipate and find. We were working to get we had 250 students in Spain across the country. When I got to Romania and saw they didn't have any textbooks, I said, show me your library. So we went up into the library of the school. They had 5,000 books. I was impressed until I looked closer and noticed they were all in English. How would you like to do studies if your whole library book was in Romanian? I said, where are your Romanian books? They took me, so help me, to one shelf with 25 books on it. And when I saw that, my heart was broken. And the Holy Spirit said, Rick, what you have done to help develop curriculum in Spain is so desperately needed here. They don't have any books. And because I felt a passion to train young people to be ministers of the good news of Jesus Christ, we went to Romania. We began to put books into print. I found boy BGMC funds. BGMC, Buddy Beryl is my best friend. I tell you, he is willing to come alongside us and give us the funds to put books into print that have never been put into print before in that language. Light for the Lost, the men's program, man, evangelism materials that have never been in print. Today, we in our offices, I've been there 24 years, folks. We just finished book number 150, printed in the Romanian language. I would tell you I'm a little bit excited about that. But that was just the beginning of what God wanted to do. When we first arrived, there was a group of young people that said, there's been a revival in this country, but it's been mainly among the older folks. Nobody's reaching the youth. We want to start a youth ministry outreach. We want to have camps for youth. Now, we don't have any facilities. We don't have a Wheat State campground. We have the mountains of Transylvania. We'll put up a big tent. If kids want to come to our camp, they've got to bring their own tent and camp out for 8 days. We don't do food service. They got to bring their own food and cook it for 8 days. We don't do bathrooms. We have the bushes over here for the boys and the bushes over here for the girls. We don't have showers. We've got a nice lake. Go take a bath. And with those kind of conditions, the first year, we had 350 kids come. The next year, 450. It grew to where we had 1,500 kids at one single camp. It grew until we saw people touched by the power of God, healed and saved. I saw hundreds come to know Jesus as Savior. I saw many hundreds filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then I got to see the Holy Spirit begin to call these young people into full-time ministry. Hallelujah. Let's go, folks. That's my cup of tea. We rejoiced in seeing what God was doing among the young people. 3 years into it, one of our two young leaders came to me and said, Brother Rick, God has called me to go to Afghanistan. How can I get there? And you see, their national church had never even thought of sending a missionary anywhere. There was no structure, no plan. Nobody had ever visioned that that might even be possible. In communist times, if you left Romania, you got shot or put in jail. The idea of sending somebody out of your country to preach the gospel? No, no way. And the Lord, this young man came to me and said, God's called me to go to Afghanistan. How do I get there? And I said, my dear friend, I don't have the foggiest idea. And the Lord put on my heart to write a faith promise card in Romanian, a little simple piece of paper, and hand it out to 450 campers at a youth camp. And it said, by faith, I promise to give. How many liters of Coca-Cola do you think you could give every month? Could you give 2 liters of Coca-Cola? We're talking a buck and a quarter. Could you give a buck? By faith, these are kids with no salaries, no income. These are poor Romanian teenagers. But those precious teenagers signed up for $600 a month of pledge support. And this young man was the first Romanian missionary sent to the country of Afghanistan, where he has served for 16 years. The Lord began to show in my heart this was a priority. Somehow, the national, and I, as an American, you can't go into another person's country and say, this is the way you should do things. That'll never fly. But you can pray, Lord, this church needs to catch a vision to send missionaries. Help me to be a catalyst. Help me to be somebody who puts fire. We were singing about the Holy Spirit fire. Help me to give the fire of the Holy Spirit for them to begin to see what they can do. We began to preach and teach and share that. We had to send missionaries. But you don't send missionaries because it's a good idea. You have to get organized. It's not going to happen just because it's a good thing to do. If you don't have a structure and a plan and a method of getting it done. And I knew that an American could never go to another country and organize that kind of a structure. But I knew somebody who could. We began to pray. We sought the face of the Lord. I'm going to go past this quickly.
Let's go back. One of my favorite passages. Paul is the first missionary in the New Testament. He is an incredible visionary. At the beginning of his ministry, he was dangerous. He'd go into a city and he would confront people with the gospel in such a way. I call it Nike evangelism, because you better have your Nikes on. Present the gospel in such a way that people will either believe you and follow, or they'll try to kill you. And literally, 2 or 3 weeks, he was out of there in every city he went. I call it Nike evangelism. He got later on in his life to the city of Ephesus, and he already had a team of young men that were his disciples. He had a whole team of young evangelists, and he saw that when they tried to kill people, he was the target. So he decided, I'm going to withdraw from the front line a little bit. But I have with me Timothy and Titus and Paul, Luke and Epaphroditus. And if you look in the scriptures, there's about 12 young men that were part of the Ephesus team. And Paul, instead of doing frontline evangelism, it says he entered the synagogue and spoke there boldly for about 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Some of them became obstinate, normal. They refused to believe. They publicly maligned the way. He was getting opposition. He was getting ready to put on his Nikes. But the Lord spoke to him. So he left them. And it says he went right down the road, taking the disciples with him, and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of a man named Tyrannus. In other words, he started a school of discipleship. He went 3 doors down from the synagogue and started a school. And Paul was not on the front lines. He was working in the mornings making tents because he could support this whole evangelistic team with a half a day's work. And that let them be on the front lines. And they were out preaching the gospel. They were going in the name of Jesus. And then in the afternoons, Paul would bring into this school the new converts and begin to teach and train them. Read what it says there. This went on for 2 years, read it with me, so that all of the Jews and the Greeks of the province of Asia, you talk about evangelism, the whole province was reached. If you look at the book of Revelations, first 3 chapters, you see 7 churches. All 7 of those churches were planted in the region of Asia during this time period. Paul wasn't on the front line in any of them, but his disciples planted 7 churches that later became the theme of the first 3 chapters of the book of Revelations. Hello? The greatest evangelism ever accomplished in Paul's ministry was in this time in Ephesus. Let's go on. So the vision of training new workers is an absolute. If we are going to see the impact penetrate a culture and change lives long term, if I'm as one person preaching the gospel, the effect's minimal. But if I can gather around me 10 young men and women and see God use them as I begin to train and invest my life in them, and then see the Holy Spirit send them out in every direction, that's what I'm telling you today has happened. That's what we're talking about. In the year 2000, we organized a Bible training center, Ephesus style. Only we have a real strict entrance policy. In order to become a student at our Bible school, God has to call you to be a full-time missionary. We're not for anybody else. So we have a screen that's pretty tight. If you're not called to be a full-time missionary, God bless you, but this isn't the place for you. We wanted some help with this. A pastor came to me and said, Brother Rick, in Eastern Romania, we have 70,000 Muslims. We're planting churches all over in this country, but nobody's penetrating that group of people. It's an unreached people group. We want to train young Romanians how to penetrate Islamic culture with the gospel of Jesus. Can you help us with a school? That was the germ that gave us this vision for a school. I called leaders here in Springfield, Missouri, our headquarters, and I said, these were men who were specialists in Islamic countries, working as missionaries 20, 30 years, many of them veterans, who offered to come and teach my young Romanian kids how to effectively penetrate that cultural group with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Are you with me here? They gave me not only, we sat down and devised a 2-year curriculum, what courses needed to be taught, but beyond that, they said, we will send you 6 professors every year to come and teach who are already experienced in the domain. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, we got the best teachers in the whole Pentecostal world coming to Romania to teach my Romanian kids how to be missionaries. Oh, let me get excited. This is the school. It's a 2-year program. I'm the vice president of that school by God's grace. This young woman is the director. Dynamite woman. Used by God. We've been at it 18 years, and friends, we have graduated 150 young people through the program. It's not a big school. But again and again, we started preparing young people to be missionaries when the national church still didn't have any way to get them there. There was still no plan, no organizational structure to send missionaries. But I knew that if God would move in enough young people's hearts and they would come to their pastor and say, Pastor, God's called me to go to Afghanistan, that the Holy Spirit would begin to work through the young people to motivate the pastors that something needed to be done. Hello? Are you with me? We began to see that God could bring this to about. It couldn't be imposed, but it could be naturally born by young people that were getting a call from God. Year 2003, I was invited to a pastor's conference to preach on the subject of missions in Romania. I stood up and I said something I've only said once in my life because the Lord gave me a word for that occasion. I said, tonight I'm not preaching, tonight I'm prophesying. God has given me a word for this church. There were 130 pastors present. I said, I asked God why he sent an American to this country. You've got a revival that's gone great. God's doing good things here. Why did he send me? I know I'm where he wants me to be. And the Lord said, Rick, I see Romanian Pentecostal church as a potential giant for the cause of world missions, but it's a church that is sound asleep. What I need is somebody to help wake them up. And there before 130 pastors, I pledged myself publicly to wake up the giant as best as I could be enabled. To be one, I'm not the only, but I was one. We began to preach and teach that. In the year 2006, a red letter day, 4 precious Pentecostal pastors from Romania came to me and said, Brother Rick, our church is moving slow on this. We've got to get organized. I said, praise God. That's been my thought for a long time. I've been praying for this. Would you help us get organized? We sat down and in 2 days put together. See, you have to go to the government with a legal document, a constitution, if you please, that will allow you to hire people as an employer and then send them as a missionary. So they get social security coverage and insurance coverage and all of the basic living needs that a missionary is going to have. We were able to do that, and we were approved within 3 months by a country that is known for more red tape. In 3 months, we were legalized. We began to send missionaries, year 2006. Oh, I could tell you, I have seen God do absolute miracles. And what I'm sharing with you is what you have been involved in as a church because you have helped us be there through this whole process. Hello? Today, 2018, we now have 67 of my kids in 23 countries serving full-time as missionaries. Half of them are Islamic countries. Our vision is by the year 2022, we're believing God for 200 missionaries from Romania, from poverty-stricken Romania. The Romanian Missions Agency, of which you will see there's an American on that board. That's so radical. I don't know if you understand it. I have been invited to serve on a Romanian church board for the World Missions Team. And now I want to show you the real, the precious things. These are my kids in Albania, in Macedonia, in Bulgaria working among the Turks, in Turkey working among the Turks, in refugee camps in Greece. Right now, Europe is being overrun with the refugees from Iraq, Iran, Syria, that whole area. We've got refugee camps huge in Greece. We've got five kids working among the refugees planting churches. Praise the Lord. I was privileged to attend a baptismal for five Iraqi young men. Praise God. That's in Europe. Let's go to Asia. I have four kids in Mongolia. In Nepal, I've got three. In China, we've got three. In India, I have five young people there, not including my own son. He's number six. We've got in Afghanistan a young lady who just at the age 23 became a missionary to Afghanistan in this day. We've got a young couple that just went into Iraq as missionaries. I wish I could get excited about this. See, I'm seeing God, each one of these has raised their own support in Romania. God has provided the money in Romania for them to go as long-term missionaries from Romania. Hello? In Africa, Namibia, Ethiopia, precious young couple. A young man in Ethiopia in 6 months was learning the language well enough that the National Church invited him to be on the church planting team for Islamic communities in Ethiopia. Uganda, Angola, Madagascar, Mozambique, Egypt. I got a young lady. You know the land of Goshen where the Israelites camped out for 400 years? I've got a young Romanian there planting a church. I want you to see what I'm talking about. I'm 67 years old. Last week we went to Social Security to talk about this thing called Social Security retirement because they said that I could get it even though I'm working full time and not stopping. Because the Lord's called me to go back to Romania for another 4 years. And as long as we have health and breath, we're going to be preaching the gospel in that land. God has done such radical things in Romania, changing the whole character of the National Church with vision for missions, that we have been asked to serve Europe-wide as representatives to help other nations begin to send missionaries in a powerful way. Last year, I was privileged to go to Portugal. And for the first time ever, that National Church, 500 Assemblies of God churches in Portugal, had never sent a missionary to a country that didn't speak Portuguese. They'd sent some to their former colonies. But last year, they sent out their first missionary ever. We helped them organize for the first time a structure, a program, a plan for how to send missionaries. And they did it this year for the first time. Italy. You know there's 1,100 Assemblies of God churches in Italy? Did you know that? 1,100 of them that had never sent a missionary anywhere? 2 years ago, I was invited to be one of the speakers at their first ever national conference on world missions. And today we have 17 Italians serving on the mission field. What I'm saying is this is a contagious thing that needs to be caught. And it starts because people in Valley Center 35 years ago believed in a young couple and helped us get in our first steps forward. Thank you for that. Right now, we need another $250 a month of new pledge support. I talked with Pastor Steve about this. Pray with us about this. This is a real... Jan still has dreams. My wife scares me. She begins to get a dream, and I see dollar signs. She has been running out of a rented facility for about 10 years, and if we don't have our own building, we don't know how permanent the work will be. It's dependent on having a place to base. She's got 300 puppets. Our house looks like a warehouse for children's supplies. We've got, I don't know how many Bibles in the basement ready to be distributed. And if 4 years from now the Lord says it's time to hang up the hat, we want the ministry to keep going. But that means it needs its own building. We've put 120. That's a big one. But we serve a God that's able to do that. Pray with us about that. We need your help in that. My last slide. Who is to go? Who is called to go? Who follows Jesus with all of their life? It's the same question. God's got a place with your name on it. He's got ministry he wants you to fulfill. And I want to challenge you today to be a goer, to stretch your horizon of where God can use you to go. And think about the all of the world. You see, I've got 67 kids in 23 countries right now. I'm praying for 200 and I don't know how many. I want to get home. My home is Bucharest, Romania. I'm anxious to get home. Pray with us about that. But where are you called to go? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord and Savior, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for this church that has been a powerhouse for missions for many years. I thank you for people of vision who have dared to give sacrificially so that this word, this message could go further. Lord, I pray an anointing on the message. Lord, make us goers today. Make us people who will go further and further day after day with your message. Help us to be visionary in where you would have us to go. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to be all that you want us to be. It may be there's someone here today that God is speaking with you right now about a place he wants you to be willing to go. If you're here and you'd like to just ask God for direction in your life, just raise a hand right where you are. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but let's pray. The Holy Spirit said he would give all men wisdom if they came and asked, and that's what we're going to ask for today. Would you all stand with me? Holy Spirit, speak to lives, I pray. Let there be a sweet spirit right now. Flood this house. God, flow like a river through here. Help us to sense and hear your voice. Speak to us, Lord.
Everybody dance. Everybody. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.